All right. See, I thought if I talked for a while, you'd kind of just get pretty tired and be craving that next storyteller. So I just am building the anticipation for Mariano, who is an artist, a professor, a storyteller. And I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but perhaps you're participating in a big event that's happening this weekend? No? That's just Marion, I guess. That's you. Okay. I thought you, maybe there's multiple people here that were participating in that. But all right. I'm sure you have some other artistic engagements, though, that you do participate in.
Eventually.
All right. Well, for the time being, let's hear a story. Please welcome Mariano.
I have to confess that it's daunting standing here before you, especially since all the other speakers have done such a great job speaking extemporaneously. And I got to read this. But it's not because it's a lie, it's the truth. At least the parts that are not illegal. Is there any law enforcement in here? Okay. I was the magic age of 20 in 1971 with a draft lottery number of 8. Vietnam was in my future if I couldn't find another alternative. So I deferred my education and my pursuit of cheap wine and not so cheap oil paints to join the Alaska National Guard, which sent me south where I would learn the ways of a killer and a mechanic. 3 months into my residency at Fort Polk, Louisiana, I took a trip north to Bossier City to buy a new car. Now, you should understand that self-respecting Alaska boys of my generation need some form of motorized transportation. And 2 months of marching and running in basic training was all the inspiration I needed to swap my rubber heels for rubber wheels. I bought an old yellow Volkswagen Bug with a white rag top. And it was beautiful in a way that mechanics understand. I felt complete again. A month later, I drove that car to my new station at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, with the top down, in spite of it being February. Too cold by local standards. But what did I care about local standards? I'm an Alaskan. I must have been quite a sight on those windy Texas and Oklahoma roads, a swarthy Hispanic boy driving top down in the winter, giving new meaning to the word chilly. 2 months later, I was obliged to catch a plane to Seattle to be properly mustered out of active service. I had 5 days to do it. Of course, I decided to drive my car. She was my special friend. I learned what to do to keep her running well. I knew which dirty, greasy part of her needed tweaking or adjusting to keep her purring. I could never abandon her, and I wouldn't sell her to some other GI who would put his own filthy fingers in her dirty places. That car was slow, thank you. The speed limit on the interstate highways was 55, and we did the best we could. I wondered if we would ever overtake another vehicle on this journey, and we finally did, somewhere in Wyoming. A GTO had run out of gas, and we passed it like it was standing still. So, to be in Seattle at the appointed hour, to drive the distance between Oklahoma and Washington in a slow car, I had to give up sleeping. I could do it back in those days because I was invincible, like every other 20-year-old. I listened to the radio a lot. It was loud. And after 3 days of driving without sleep, I started to hallucinate intensely, a lot. Serious lack of sleep is a very powerful and cheap drug. And I had many amazing visions during that drive. Harry Chapin's Taxi was getting a lot of airplay across the country, and I heard that tune a lot. After a while, I could hear that music with the radio off. Chapin's lyrics even began to shape my visions of the passing landscape. I was amazed how much the forests of Idaho resembled the streets of San Francisco. I obsessed about bittersweet relationships from my past and my broken dreams, while at the same time observing that the front of my car looked like the white rubber toe of a Converse tennis shoe. You don't need no stinking LSD if you want to hallucinate. Just give up sleeping completely for 3 days or more. I did make my deadline in spite of the visions, and parked my car in the long-term parking lot at the SeaTac airport. I boarded my flight and fell asleep before the plane lifted off. About 2 weeks later, my associate Randy calls early in the morning from Kenai to ask if I wanted a ride to Seattle, sharing expenses and driving. So Randy shows up at 2 o'clock and I was ready to go. He had a blue Ford pickup truck with a full tank of gas, a case of beer, and some little white pills inscribed with a cross. We filled the gas tank a couple of times, but we had enough beer and pills to arrive in Whitehorse around midnight. There wasn't much radio reception between Anchorage and Whitehorse, but I was living Harry Chapin's song again, flying high in my taxi until we finally landed in Seattle. It was a different story driving back to Alaska in my VW. Did I mention that my car had a beauty that only a mechanic would understand? Looking at that car, I saw a lot of potential. I saw a beefed-up engine, overhauled with new rings, new seals, heavy-duty valves, and a heavy-duty oil cooler, maybe even dual carbs. I envisioned new shocks and a custom gear shift knob, maybe a paint job, and vanity plates that said, pendejo. Wait, that's 7 characters. What about P-N-D-E-H-O? The reality was that I was driving a well-used car to Alaska in winter that was now firing on 3 of its 4 cylinders with a bad heater and a raggedy rag top. Did I mention yet that I was going to live forever? The drive through Washington State and British Columbia was slow and picturesque and pleasant. But when I got to the top of a long incline 5 miles past the town of Chetwynd, BC, my engine stopped. It didn't take me long to figure out that the problem was no fuel to the carburetor, so I pushed the car around and coasted 5 miles back down the decline to Chetwynd, BC, where I rolled into a garage with a real mechanic. This guy was not just a parts changer, and I was fortunate to watch him work. He told me that my fuel pump had a badly worn diaphragm with no replacement to be found in Chetwynd, BC. He figured that by welding a little metal onto a push rod in the fuel pump, I could get a little extra service from that worn diaphragm until I got to Dawson Creek and I can buy a replacement. The plan worked beautifully. Of course, when I got to Dawson Creek, the car was running so well that I decided not to install a new pump. Why fix a broken window on a sunny day? So I continued heading north without the benefit of beer, speed of any sort, or adequate heat. You see, the heaters on those old Beetles worked by circulating air around the warm engine and returning it to the interior of the car. Fearful that the warm air might be laced with carbon monoxide, I drove with the windows cracked to allow fresh and really cold air in, as if the leaky rag top wasn't doing an adequate job of that already. I didn't know how cold the Alcan Highway could be in April. I had to give up sleeping again, since it was too cold to sleep without the meager heat that my car could provide, and I didn't dare sleep with the engine running since I was counting on waking up again. I've traveled the Alcan Highway at least 21 times and 21 different ways before and after that trip in 1972. All of my traveling companions have marveled at how I seem to have every mile of that Alcan Highway memorized, but I can't remember anything I saw on that particular trip, except for that glowing green orb that fell to earth by the road at Steamboat Mountain. Well, I finally made it back to Alaska. Soon, I would be back in my mammy's home to my mammy's home cooking and my pappy's warm couch, except that my fuel pump finally gave out on the Eklutna Flats during the rush hour. We rolled to a stop on the shoulder. With tears running down my face, I asked the Lord, why was he tormenting me thusly? And the Lord said unto me, pendejo, you didn't replace that fuel pump in Dawson Creek. And now you must atone. By the way, I tried to catch a ride with you at Steamboat Mountain. Why didn't you stop? So I did my penance right there on the shoulder of the Glen Highway at rush hour. It didn't take long. Thank you.